Reverend Dr. Laurie Bolster spoke on this topic last time, and it's always fun to follow somebody speaking on a subject because I don't feel like I have to absolutely cover every aspect of the chapter because a lot of it's already been done. And I can't think of a subject I enjoy more than unity and oneness of God and the individual. So we're going to do that. And I'm going to tell stories that you've heard before about my experience of oneness in various ways in various places in my life. And I'm going to share quotes from several books, from Holmes and from Abraham and from my books. So we've got a lot of fun things here, things that really speak to my heart. So let's start with Holmes's quote from the book Anatomy of Healing Prayer, which of the 25 books I've read from Ernest Holmes in many ways was my very favorite one. And Holmes said, "The overdwelling presence is the indwelling person. God in you, as you, is you. There is nothing else you can be. You didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't make it, and you can't change it. You didn't do anything that was good enough to earn it, and you can't do anything bad enough to destroy it." That's a relief, isn't it? In some circles, that comes across as a relief. And Can We Talk to God, the book that we are currently working on, Holmes said, "Each is rooted in the whole, and the divine nature manifests through everything. Within our nature is a reality which knows no difference between itself and the great self. The whole aim of the study of science of mind is to realize and consciously penetrate the upper atmosphere of our thought and bring it into the lower mind, a greater vision of reality. Could we reach that serene contemplation of the soul, which views all as an undivided part of this great self, we would no longer be disturbed in our thought." And I was reminded early on as I was working on this talk that I have told you before about going into my very first Science of Mind church that I belong to. And Reverend Marianne, 3 weeks later at the beginning of the Science of Mind basic class, in those days it was called Science of Mind 1, she came to me and she handed me the textbook, open to the chapter, What the Mystics Have Taught. And she said, "You're a mystic and you don't know it and you need to know what to do with it." And I was bewildered, but pleased that she recognized something of value in me. And the quote that she referred me to, that begins with this sentence: "A mystic is not a mysterious person, but one who has a deep inner sense of life and of his unity with the whole." And so Reverend Marianne set me up to create a mystical path for myself and a path of the heart. And it took me quite a long time before I really began to realize that, because I was thrilled at the beginning that Science of Mind was a path of the mind and the intellect and offered me a lot of understanding about the law. And it took me a while before I began to get it about the love and the unity and the oneness. But I really appreciated all that I was taught about how to use the law. But over time, I began to have experiences, mystical connections, and see visions in meditation. And the first book that I wrote is called A Gift of Vision. And it celebrates the experiences that I was having. And when I teach about mysticism, I teach people that it seems like people who see visions want to hear voices, and people who hear voices want to have feelings, and people who have feelings want to hear. I mean, everybody has a sense that, oh, maybe I'm not doing it right, but we all have a unique gift. And what I discovered is if I honored the gift that I had, more light, more came. And the quote I had on my practitioner notebook the whole time I was studying to be a practitioner was a quote from Science of Mind that says, "We know more light will be given as we use that which we have." And so I took to writing down these visions that I saw because they spoke to me powerfully. And ultimately, they accumulated into the first book I wrote, A Gift of Vision. And when my website is set up again, which appears to be coming fairly close, Carlos making great progress with it, that book is available for free. You can read it on my website if you ever want to. But the quote that came up as I was working on this chat, I was reading my chat books to look at what Beloved said about the unity and oneness. And the whole second book appears to be about unity and oneness. I love that. And in one of the chats, B said to me, "We'd like you to share the story of your monolith vision again." And I was planning to read the chat I had with the Beloved about it. But when I went back and I read the original version that's in the first book, not the story I told about it, my memory of it, there were a couple of things in it that spoke to oneness for me. So I will share that one with you. In the Science of Mind 1 class in those days, there was a day-long workshop that was a whole series of guided meditations. And one of them, the setup for it, was a sculptor has created a statue of you. And you go into this room and you pull the cloth off it and you see it. And you get to know something about yourself by seeing what the sculptor saw within you. And I went into the room and I approached this huge thing and I pulled the cloth off it and the feeling of chaotic energy was overwhelming. It was an enormous granite monolith with many polished facets jutting in different directions. On each smooth facet was a series of hieroglyphics going from left to right in rows. I was horrified both at the obviously inhuman appearance of this statue and also by the unpleasantly strong energy emanating from it. It was all I could do not to run, but I felt safe in trusting the meditation process, and I continued. The next instruction was to become the statue. I turned into the thing itself. As I did, I could feel the energy shift. Suddenly, I fell into total infinite peace. The absolute chaos was replaced by the deepest feeling of calm I had ever experienced. Resting in the center, I felt fully surrounded by love and silence. In fact, I felt like I was love, peace, and calm. It was like being in the eye of a hurricane. I experienced a serene, completely tranquil moment in eternity. I began to understand the statue. I was experiencing the I am at the center of my being. Each line on every facet was an experience of life all occurring simultaneously. No wonder the feeling of all of them occurring together was totally overwhelming. My life as Connie Chandler is just one of those lines of symbols on one of the many facets of my being. My true life is the eternal center of calm. My true being is the endless love, infinite peace, and glorious understanding that exists always and beyond always at the center of it all. I am spirit incarnate in this life, and I am all spirit at my core, incarnate in each life. Each life is my life, and each being is my being. The ultimate I am that I am is as much the life of every other being as it is Connie. Monolith means consisting of a single stone. The statue was a single stone, yet upon the stone were many facets with many lines on each individual facet. The many were completely contained in the one, but each were individual. All energy was present and simultaneously all peace. Paradoxes resolved in the wholeness of this image for me. When I talked to the beloved about it, I shared that story, and I said to them, I particularly love that vision for the feeling of deep peace at the center. I often go there when I pray and meditate. I feel myself dropping into the infinite well of peace at the center of all being. Oh, and it feels like light and love and well-being. I've never used these words about it before, but it's like gazing on all of the activity of life with a gentle, totally loving, amused benevolence. Is that how you feel about us, B? They said, yes, we love that you picked up on the amusement in the benevolence. I said, like Emerson talking about the infinite resting in smiling repose. And B said, exactly. I said, but I am feeling something else in here. The I am at the center being everything felt like one. Beloved, you feel like collective consciousness. Aren't you the great I am? Really? They said, yes, in the same sense that you are really the one in expression. We are also the one in expression. We are love in expression. We are the consciousness of the divine that love supports and supplies the many. Manyness in us allows specificity and uniqueness in the love you perceive and receive. Manyness is a useful and endlessly morphing invention of the one. I said, wow, endless creativity, playfulness, joy, and love. That's what I'm feeling here. And B said, yes, Connie, that's right. We love that you are feeling for this rather than thinking for it. I said, well, it boggles the mind still, all this talk of oneness and manyness, but the feeling satisfies my heart. The feeling satisfies my heart so beautifully. In Living the Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes said, believing that God is all the presence there is, I am learning to feel this presence in everything and everyone. Dwelling on the thought that God is love, I permit my mind to be filled with the consciousness of this love. I permit this love to envelop everything and everyone, bringing with it a sense of peace and joy and certainty. Feeling for the presence in everything and everyone. It's so powerful to live in this space and consciousness. I was walking in the mall yesterday and I randomly picked an Abraham segment from the music on my phone. And it was from May 18th, 2008. And Abraham said, "Do you know that you are so much more than you see here in these beautiful bodies? Do you remember that you are source energy projected here? There is nothing more delicious than to be focused in the physical with awareness of these two aspects of who you are. When you are in your most joyful moment, that means that you have somehow, some way, adjusted to an attunement to that source nature within you. In your alignment, there is no separation between you and you with a capital Y. Then the experience you are having is glorious. You would call it, I'm in love, or I'm filled with appreciation, or I'm filled with joy. You will feel eagerness and passion. There is that friskiness that is only present when you are tuned in, tapped in, and turned on to who you really are. It's such a beautiful thing to be in alignment with Source, to feel that energy moving in you as you to see through the eyes of Source, to hear with the love in your hearing. So you listen for the love. You look for the light and the sparkles. You feel for the blessings all around you. You live in gratitude and joy. Another chat I had in the second book, B said, "We love being with you as you love your friends and your life." I said, "I get a little confused about that. Are you being with me or are you being me?" And they said, both and even better, all of the above. We are all of it. I said, I just had a flashback to David Hawkins describing the map of human consciousness from shame at the bottom through fear, anger, courage, willingness, love, joy, ecstasy and oneness on his addictions video. He stepped back, looked at the chart he had created, and with a sweeping gesture that took it all in, said, "Of course, it's all love." I almost fell off the sofa. I was so astonished. Love expressed as anger, love expressing as fear or shame or willingness or critical thinking. And then my friend Lori Cohen said, "Love is flawless and flows at every frequency." I still marvel at that one. B said, "Dr. Hawkins and Lori are so right. It's all love. It's all us. Even more than just the human consciousness too. The birds and the trees, the sky and the water, the sun and the moon and the stars and the universes, all love. So we are as you and with you all the time. We are in all of it as it. We are every organ, cell, and system of your body. We are every atom and molecule. We are every moment and chemical reaction. We are your emotions and your thoughts. There is no place we are not. There is no time we are not. We are also beyond time and space entirely." As always, I had more than I want to take time for today, but I would like to close with another quote from Ernest from Living the Science of Mind. And this is how I aspire to live my life. believing that God is all the presence there is. I am learning to feel this presence in everything and in everyone. Dwelling on the thought that God is love, I permit my mind to be filled with the consciousness of this love. I permit this love to envelop everything and everyone, bringing with it a sense of peace and joy and certainty. I'm so grateful to Reverend Mary Ann, to Louise Hay, to Reverend Sunday and Reverend Hillary and Reverend Maria and all of the other amazing spiritual teachers I've had. I'm grateful to everyone in Sterling Study Group for making this a community of love, where we focus on the oneness, where we do spiritual mind treatment that always starts out with God is, and then says, I am that. This is a philosophy that is based in oneness. It is the truth of what we teach. And feeling that love in us and through us and as each other is such an incredible gift. So I am grateful for the presence in the present, which is such a present. What a gift it is to be love, present in the science of mind philosophy and this life. I am grateful. And so it is.